Blog Talk Radio.
We give you praise, oh Holy Lamb. Listen, good evening, and thank you for joining us again for another Theologically Speaking. I am your host, Jose Dorsey. Always like to begin by telling you how honored and privileged, how much of a pleasure it is for us to actually be here, thusly assembled. It's because God has anointed and appointed this time, this space, and this place for us to share with one another. Listen, you could have been anywhere else, you could have been doing something else, but for some reason, God saw fit to allow us to have this time to come together, to touch and agree, to whether it's pray, whether it's just go over a word of conviction, or maybe it's a word that really helps put us into a place where we're provoked to think differently or provoked to actually explore scripture and apply it to our lives in a different way. And I really don't like to say a different way. I should probably say in a different way than how we've been taught. Some things have just been handed down word of mouth from generation to generation, from preacher to preacher, congregant to congregant. But when did you take the time to really understand the word of God? I'm hoping that this show, it reach out over the airwaves. I have to say a really big thank you to our executive producer, James Brown, for sharing this worldwide platform with us. We have been so blessed to be able to reach out and to help people to understand about our ministry, about the different things that we've done. We humbly come to you, sponsored by the Center of Spirit and Truth, where I am serving as the pastor in the church. It's such an honor to pastor a people who we represent ourselves as more than just a congregation, but we're also a family. So it's so good to be able to serve with family and be among people. If you haven't had an opportunity to listen to us or to see us on Facebook Live, feel free to look us up on Facebook. Go like our page. Join us sometime. See what we're into. See some of the things that we're doing. Broke. Now we're about to get more active in our community. So we're looking forward to that. Today is a day of supposed to be National Prayer Day. Don't know if we had an opportunity to just do some intentional and purposeful praying, pressing, touching, and agreeing during this time. But I'm hoping that you do that. Find some time to get into your space. And don't do it just because it's a matter of someone telling you that today is prayer day or now is the time for prayer. Do it because you recognize that you have to maintain a relationship with God. Do it because you know that the fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. That's straight from the book of James. So some things may be out of reach for someone, but because someone took the time to pray for you or you took the time to pray for someone else, something that might not have been in their grasp now becomes available. I hope you received that right where we said it, so that we're reminded of the importance and the power of when we pray. So with that on our mind, let us just pause for a second and go before his throne. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly come before you. We thank you for this time that you've anointed and appointed for us. We thank you that you've given us pause to observe this moment of prayer. Lord, as we're praying, we're asking that you just bless all of those under the sound of my voice, whether it's naturally or whether it's over the virtual airwaves, God. We ask that you just allow them to be conduits of this word, that it just don't fall on their ears, but it also go forward. It go forward in a multiplicity that other people may also hear. These principles might be expounded that other people may also give way to and have hope. We're praying today, Lord, that as you've given us spiritual acuity, that, God, you help us to see the necessity of fighting a spiritual battle. We've tried for so long to fight battles with our own hands, with our own methods, with our physical means. But now, God, we just give it over to you. And we say, come in, have your way in our lives. Lord, as we fight against the enemy, give us spiritual tools. Help us put on the whole armor of God today. Help us to be strong enough, God, to when people lash out at us, when the enemy tried to destroy us, that, God, we don't retaliate as those that have no hope and no faith. But we respond with spiritual maturity. We respond with emotional intelligence enough to know that, Lord, it's you that created us and not ourselves. It's you that says vengeance belongs to you, God. And so we ask that you just show up and you have your way. Have mercy on those that spitefully misuse us and abuse us. But, God, we also ask that you give us strength to be able to withstand and to stand when the enemy come in to oppress us. Bless those who are in the highways and the byways, God, that have not, those who need to hear a word from you and have their lives transformed. God, we ask that you just impart to them an opportunity so that they may receive the same eternal promises that we cleave unto as believers. Lord, as we just dedicate this broad, this airway opportunity for us to minister unto you, we ask that you open up our hearts and our minds, that you meet us right here in this moment, and that you allow something to be posited into our minds and our hearts that is fruitful to our understanding, that as we go forward, we're more equipped as your church, your people, the called out ones, the ones that you called out of darkness into your marvelous light. Equip God to do the work of the ministry. Help us to feed people. Help us to touch people. Help us to love and look at the world through your eyes. Oh, God, how you so loved us that you gave us your only begotten Son, that if we would only just believe in him, we would not perish but have everlasting life. Help us to preach and teach with urgency as we face these spiritual battles and we endure this spiritual warfare. Lord, we trust you, we believe you, and we declare that it is so in Jesus' name. Listen, I'm so blessed today because I have an opportunity to share with you some things that have been on my heart, very near and dear to me lately, and that's looking at the attack of the enemy. I was looking at some movies. One of the movies that I was thinking about was this movie called The Right, with Anthony Hopkins in it as a main character. He's a priest that some type of way throughout his walk of faith and his priesthood, he begins to doubt God. And at his point of doubt, the enemy comes in, the devil this unclean spirit comes in and just possesses him. And so while within our Christian doctrine we don't believe this to be possible, I thought about it for a second. I gave pause to that thing because presumably somebody somewhere is believing in demonic possessions. Saying unclean spirits don't walk the earth, I'm not saying unclean spirits will not take residence in a single person. But I want you to consider this, people of God. Imagine this. The enemy has been around for a very long time. Unclean spirits have been around the earth for a very long time. And so I believe, now maybe this is too much Joseology, but I believe that the attack of the enemy has become very intellectual over time. As knowledge become more vast, as technology become more profound, as we begin to grow in different advancements throughout our human history, understand that the enemy is not coming to attack just one. When you look around, you see that he's attacking a multitude. And one of the ways that I see that he's attacking us in our sexuality. He's attacking us in our marriage. He's attacking us right here in our households. He's attacking so many aspects, but I notice that there is a very constant denominator. There's a common denominator is what I'm trying to say. That common denominator is families. So here it is. We've been so attacked by our families. You look up and, oh, my goodness, we find that our sons and our daughters, they're losing their sexuality. And quite frankly, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, it seems like they're also losing their doggone minds. Generation X, Generation Y, oh my goodness, remember the lost generation? All of these generations are coming together and they're having children, and one is more lost than the next, and morality is being watered down. And how much of us do we actually even teach our children the ways of the Lord? I was talking to my son. We're sitting in the car. We're driving from point A to point B. And he was talking about how when he gets older, he was going to make sure his son went to church. As a father, you rejoice to hear things like that. You can see how God's influence, how the word of God has begun to transcend generation, and you see the effects. And oh, what a blessing it is. But he said, Dad, it's because I chose to do it. Well, amen, son. I recognize that you chose to do it. But do you think you might have been thinking about church if your dad or your mom hadn't taken you to church, if someone hadn't forced you to go and sat you down and taught you about prayer and begin to help teach you those children level lessons regarding the word of God, or actually took a moment and told you about Jesus Christ? He said, well, Dad, you know, I really did this because I chose to do it. And I say, amen, son. And so what I recognize is that I had to leave that argument alone. He feels like he did it on his own. But we all know that it's because it's been handed down from generation to generation. We're so afraid to grab our children and to make them come and actually hear a word from the Lord. We're afraid we're going to offend them. We're afraid that some type of way that we're going to cause them to go off in a different direction. I heard quite a few people say, that one of the greatest things that their parents ever did for them was drag them to church and make them sit there and hear a word from the Lord. The word of God teaches us that God says, bring your children before me that I would teach them how to fear me. So here it is. We have a responsibility to bring the generations, to bring the children. And even though I'm talking about children, I'm still dealing with family. I'm still talking about rolling up those sleeves so that we can do a spiritual warfare. But I want you to know that what's near and dear in my heart is families. Our families are under spiritual attack, people. Oh, my goodness. When you look at the statistics regarding marriage and divorce, 50% of marriages end in divorce, and I think that's growing higher and higher. Could it be because we don't respect the sacredness and the sanctity or the sanctuary of marriage? Could it be that some type of way we didn't have those principles instilled in us the way that we were supposed to, or maybe we didn't stand on them and it's getting watered down from generation to generation? Could it be the reason why we see TV no longer bleep out certain words when we're looking at them, or no longer blot out situations of homosexuality, or now it's just a free rein on our children as far as what they exposed to, both on radio and TV? I remember once upon a time you would go buy a tape, because CDs wasn't as popular during that time. You can go buy a tape, and it would say parental advisory on it. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. And so how often do you see that now? It's almost the expectation that when you go and listen to this music that you're going to be exposed to certain levels of profanity. Once upon a time, you couldn't talk about drugs. You couldn't talk about illicit sex, explicit sex. You couldn't talk about those things without being censored or protested against. And now it's just free reign. We're under spiritual attack. We're under spiritual attack because now little girls and little boys, they don't see the sacredness of sex. They don't see the sacredness of unity. We're under attack because husbands are no longer understanding that they have a responsibility to be the priest in the household, to be the head of the household, and ultimately to have and establish a rule of love. We're under attack because there's some woman somewhere that refused to submit, not understanding that there's strength in a woman's submission, and just because she submit doesn't mean that she's weak, and there's no reverence in the household. And so when the principles begin to be watered down, we're no longer teaching our children that if we spare the rod, then we'll spoil the child. We don't want to hear little Pookie cry. We don't want little Rayshana to be mad at us. Monisha, we don't want to hurt her little heart, but we know we need to put something on her backside. We need to tell that young boy pull those pants up. We need to tell him to speak like he got some doggone sense. We need to teach them and grow them up in a way that they should go, but when they're old, they won't depart from it. What about when you're on your job? Well, carry on as if you weren't blessed with everything that you have from the Lord. So you think that you went out and filled that application out and you did everything of your own might and God wasn't in there nowhere. See, there are some things both in the material and in the invisible that you must account for. First of all, you did physically fill out the application. You did physically turn it in, but God had to move in such a way to allow you to have enough favor to get your application looked at in the first place. I almost feel like I want to preach this thing. And so because favor begins to come your way, blessings now begin to flow in your way. Now, wait a minute. What about those people that's not saved? Well, God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Sometimes it takes God to pour out a blessing on you for you to recognize that it wasn't yourself. You need to humble yourself, realize that it's not all about you, and that a divine God somewhere operated in the immaterial, in the invisible, so that some things can manifest for you. There's somebody walking around with a blessing right now, but you can't see it because you missed the forest for the trees. On your job, you're dealing with some people that choose to do things from a perspective of unrighteousness, and we think that it's okay for us to do it ourselves. Ouch. I'm saying ouch for a reason. But the reality is you're not expected to do it. You're not slated to do it because you are a called out one. You're different. Here it is. What about that potential? What about that person that have the resolve that I'm going to stand for God, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to be the priest in my household, or I'm going to submit to my husband, or I'm going to rule in my household with love the way God has commanded us to? And all hell seems to break out all at the same time. Oh, my goodness. If it ain't one thing, it's another. People turning their back. Kids don't want to act right. Bills getting cut off. Money is tight. What are we going to do? my friends, Ephesians 6 and 11, it reads, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Understand that there's going to be tricks. There's going to be different obstacles come your way. Different things are going to press against you, but you still have a responsibility to stand. As you stand, you're going to be able to stand because now you have something that you didn't make yourself. See, you're going to try so many different times to put on your own armor. You're going to look at a situation and it might arrest your mind, but you get to the point where you think, oh, I got to figure this thing out. I'm going to work my way through it. I got this all by myself. But there are some things that you can't do with your too big, too bad self. Sit down somewhere and recognize that this thing or some of these things that you are confronted with, you have to fight them from a spiritual perspective and not a physical one. So the Bible says put on the whole armor, not of Jose, not of yourself, but there's some spiritual warfare that you have to do. So you have to put on the whole armor of God so that you're going to be able to stand. Now, sometimes when you're getting pounded, sometimes when you're getting beat down, it's hard to maintain your stance. It's hard to maintain your stance. It's hard to maintain that front light. It's in him I live. It's in him I move. It's in him that I have my very being. I'm going to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, always abounding, always standing, and abounding in the work of the Lord. That's hard when you're getting beat up. It's hard when you're under attack. But see, just in case you might lose perspective, verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That person that you're in that argument with that's always antagonizing you, always making you say, oh, you all lay down your religion for just 1 minute. Oh, you lucky I done hooked up with Dr. Jesus, and that's what changed you. Amen. But because he tempted you means that you need to recognize. I wish you just say that to yourself. You need to recognize. Let me say that to myself. Jose, you need to recognize. You need to recognize that you're not fighting against flesh and blood, but what? Against principalities, against powers. Wait a minute, powers? Whoa. If powers are coming against you, then you need something to be able to deflect those powers. Every Avenger have a particular power. As you look at that thing, you will see that there are certain advantages and disadvantages. You'll see there are certain avenues of their powers that makes them be able to go on offense, and there are some parts of their powers that makes them be a good defensive player for their team. I just wanted to tie the Avengers in there, y'all. I got to go see the Infinity Wars. Anyway, but we wrestle against these powers, so that means that you ought to be able to have some protection. Against the rulers, not just anybody, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Understand that you might not be dealing with just a simple unclean spirit, but that might be a arch demon, if you will, pursuing after you. That might be a really powerful entity that's coming against your household, trying to sift and divide you. There may be something that is so powerful, the only way you're going to fight that is spiritual. You can't see a spirit. So you have to be able to buckle down and be able to fight. But how do you fight that fight? You have to put on the whole armor. It says, now wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Now, wait a minute. First we were talking about standing. Now we're talking about a withstand. So when we begin to talk about the stand, originally we're talking about your overall stance, where you are, how you're going to be able to defend against whatever it is coming against you. So the first stance we're dealing with is to be able to defend. And watch this. So take unto you the whole armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand. So we see a repeat for emphasis. You can't do this thing just of your own power and your own might, thinking that you're just going against certain people in the natural. People are being manipulated in the natural, but understand this, because they have become pawns or tools of our enemy, the real enemy. Your husband is not your enemy. Your wife is not your real enemy. The enemy is your real enemy. And how you begin to fight the enemy, you don't go knock your wife out. You don't go beat your husband down. You don't go begin to denigrate your children or fill them or inflame them with wrath. You don't allow yourself to contribute to the same affliction that the enemy is bringing against your family. But you roll up your sleeves and you begin to fight how? With the whole armor of God. So now you may be able to withstand in the evil day. My people, we are dealing with an evil day right now. There's evil all around us. So now this withstand here is that you may be able to endure. See, endurance and perseverance is a different thing than just defending. You might be able to defend, but can you endure while you defend? Okay, you got up a shield. You holding up your shield. You getting beat and pounded up against your shield, all right? Even a police officer might put on a bulletproof vest. But what a lot of people don't know is when we get shot with that bulletproof vest, it still hurts. And there are drills that police go through. It's called pounding the armor. Well, that's a federal tactic. And what it is, what if we encounter a bad guy out there that's wearing armor? You have to shoot and shoot and shoot that armor to pound him out. You can still stop his heart. So you're still in danger if you're not able to persevere while you're under attack. So again, put on this whole armor so that you can persevere in the evil day, so you can endure in the evil day, and having all done all, here we go, to stand. Having done all, see, first you're gonna defend yourself, then you're gonna defend with endurance. You're gonna defend with endurance because your overall position, your overall stance is, I'm gonna do this God's way. So having done all to stand is what is your overall stance. Throughout the Bible, countless times, you'll find that God is telling us we need to choose. I can hear him saying, choose you this day whom you will serve. And come on, I can hear a response from Joshua saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is really saying, I'm going to put on my whole armor. What do you stand? Verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about you, and it's telling you different ways that you need to put on this armor. It said, having on a breastplate of righteousness. That should guard your heart, and your feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always be ready to take the word of God every single place that you go. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Your faith is going to guide you, is going to protect you, is going to allow you to receive the promises, and the promises are going to be what's necessary to help you feel that sense of endurance. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that the just shall live by their faith. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They're coming against you. You're under attack. The Bible says so right here. And so you need to be able to have those tools to be able to stand and understand that as we're talking about the shield, one of the greatest shields that you can ever have is your faith. Because, see, if you have faith in God, then you're already fighting half the fight to begin with. Your faith, if it's fortified in Christ Jesus, if it's fortified in God, if you truly trust and believe, then understand that you are in a place where you're going to be able to stand, withstand, and be able to stand, have an overall stance against any and everything the enemy throw at you. And take the helmet of salvation because God has done something in your mind. He's transformed your mind so you're not conformed to this world. The spirit of the sword of the spirit, everywhere you go, you should be stabbing and sticking and helping people receive a two-edged word that's really sharp and cut down to the bone and marrow, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's not just for you. It's not a selfish thing. It's for everybody. So I pray that you have the ability to put on the whole armor of God because you are under attack. Our families are under attack, and I pray that knowing this, now you're better enabled to have good spiritual warfare. Thank you for joining us for another Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. I love you, and God bless.